quite smart to mind your manners.
Yes, boys and girls, it's time to mind your manners with Alan Ludden and his panel of typical teenagers. From the studios of WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut, the National Broadcasting Company brings you a teenage discussion session for boys and girls from 8 to 18. But you and Dulcer and Sally welcome to sit in on the meeting. So gather around, because here he comes, the man who conducts the meeting, that man who makes manners fun, Alan Ludden.
Thank you, Ed Addison, and hello there, boys and girls. It's mighty good to be back after our two-week vacation, and the panel and I are all set to start another year of these meetings devoted to the problems of boys and girls from 8 to 18. As you know, we tackle all kinds of problems each week, and they're always your problems. So here we go. The meeting's called to order, and the first item of business is to introduce 1949's first panel of typical teenagers. As usual, they'll speak up for themselves, so come on in, panel.
Pat Utley, 16 years old, high school senior.
Evan O'Brien, 17 years old, high school senior.
Irene Barrett, 17 years old, high school senior.
Jim O'Neill, 17 years old, high school senior.
Judy Simons, 14 years old, high school freshman.
And speaking for the boys and girls who have not yet reached the teenage, we have our old friend...
David Benton, 12 years old, 7th grade.
Well, panel, in the past 2 weeks, we've heard a lot from a lot of your friends all over the country, and they sent you some very interesting problems, so let's go to work. The first letter came from a young man out in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and he will receive $5 in saving stamps for sending us this problem.
In the December 20th issue of Life magazine, there was an article on teenage games. In it, they described one called the temptation game. The idea of it is for a boy and a girl to look in each other's eyes until one breaks down and kisses the other. What does the panel of typical teenagers think about this game? And how do they think it could be introduced in a new locality?
All right, what do you think about that game, Jim O'Neill?
It's not a typical teenage game. Typical teenagers don't waste time with games like that to get around to kissing if they want to. And I wouldn't bother introducing it in his section. If he really wants to kiss a girl like that, just find someone who's willing.
Well, now, let's talk about that in a little from another angle. Did you read the article, Pat Utley? What did you think of it?
Yes, I did. And, you know, I didn't think it was typical at all. I mean, some parts of it were, but they seem to overemphasize it, like the girls wearing those football knee socks.
You don't do that, do you?
Well, we wear knee socks, but I mean, we wear those football things.
Well, that's kind of a fad in a certain locality.
Well, I suppose so, but I mean, the way the magazine put it, it was like a typical teenager over the United States, and well, all United States isn't like that.
What do you think about those boogie haircuts, Emmett? You don't have one. Is it the fad where you live? Or
not where I live. I know some of the fellows on another basketball team do have crew haircuts. The whole team has them except for one fellow. I think the temptation game is just a waste of precious time.
Oh, yes. You don't recommend the temptation game as a very good game.
Right? No, we just dispense with the formalities and get down to brass tacks.
Oh, I see. In other words, you don't believe in sitting and looking across the sofa at your girl and then letting one of you decide to kiss the other.
That's no, it's very moronic.
I see. All right, now let's ask the girls about this. Judy Simons, what about it? Do you think that kissing games are much fun for boys and girls 14 years old?
Well, I think it's fun if you like it, but not many of the kids my age like it.
All right, you don't play kissing games at 14. What kind of games do you think are more fun?
Oh, well, games where you can be silly and have lots of fun.
You like what's a favorite pastime at your parties?
Dancing.
You like to dance. All right, Eileen Berry, what do you think about the temptation game?
I don't think those looks were at all soulful, as Mike put it. They looked more bored with each other than soulful.
In other words, that boy didn't particularly make you want to kiss him, is that right?
Not at all.
All right. Well, what about that girl? Isn't she a cute little girl, though, Emmett? Didn't you think she was a cute little girl?
Well, she was all right, but she didn't have an appealing look to me, at least.
All right. Well, in other words, you don't go all along with that article. You don't think the temptation game is a particularly typical teenage game. Is that right, panel?
No.
All right, fine. Now, we'll move on to the second question, which comes to us from a young lady in Talmadge, Ohio. This is the problem that she presents to you, panel.
There's a boy at my school who seems to think that the proper way to greet a girl in the hall is to run up and give her a hearty slap on the back. Many of us girls are bothered by him, and we have tried everything we can think of to break him of this habit. We're hoping you can offer us a few good suggestions on how to show him the error of his ways.
All right, here's a boy who has a problem, I think. Eileen Berry, what suggestions do you have?
I'd suggest that the girls first ask themselves why the boy does it. Find out whether it's from shyness or whether he's very conceited and thinks he is doing the girls a favor by slapping him on the back.
All right, then after you decide that, what would you do?
Well, if he's conceited, just a cold look. will take care of everything. If he's shy, say, I'm not a football dummy after all.
All right, just talk to him that way. What about a cold look, Emmett? Do you think that's a very efficacious treatment in a case like this?
Yes, very. A woman's scorn is very potent. A fellow certainly isn't minding his manners.
All right, you think that what about a woman's scorn, Pat? How does a woman give a man scorn?
Well, by just looking over her shoulder and looking at the man as if, oh, I just simply can't be bothered with you.
I see. Well, that then is what you recommend to the girls in Tommage, Ohio. Judy, what do you think about this boy who slaps girls on the back to say hello?
Well, I think if he's just covering up for shyness, that the girls ought to get around him and kind of tell him that they aren't the football dummy.
All right. And really tell him in a nice way, huh?
Yeah. Don't be mean about it.
What if he's a smart aleck, Judy? How would you handle it, though, if he were a smart aleck?
Give him a woman's scorn.
Oh, this woman's scorn. What about that, Jim? Do you, let's ask David Benton. David, you haven't been in on this very much yet. What about a woman's scorn? Can you feel such a thing at your age, say 12?
No.
You can't feel it?
No.
Just wait until you're
older. Well, what about it? David, do you think, though, that at your age, the boys go up slapping girls on the back and saying hello at even 12 years old?
Well, I think they begin to learn to mind their manners around 12.
I see, but before that, it's all right to slap girls, huh?
No, it isn't all right, but before that, it's done.
Oh, it's done? Well, how do they start learning? What is it that makes them start learning, you suppose?
Well, I think most of the girls get around to where they say, well, I've had enough of this.
And they want to be started to be treated like ladies, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a lady? Pat, what's your last statement on this?
Drag them over to the radio some Saturday morning, sit them down and say, listen to Mind Your Manners, they'll tell you.
All right, and if they don't hear it Saturday morning, they can hear it some other time. You know, sometimes these meetings are held at various times.
Sure, any old time that comes out of the air.
Fine, anytime Mind Your Manners comes out of the air, listen to it. We'd like that a lot. Okay. Now, last year we started considering one problem each week that had been submitted by our adult members, and they resulted in such fine discussions that we're going to keep this department in the meetings during 1949. To start off the year with a real problem that may not be solved in this one meeting, we selected a letter from a mother in New Orleans, Louisiana. Panel, this mother would like to hear you talk about the question of public dancing places. Do you think that young teenagers in high school should be allowed to go either in parties or couples to public nightclubs where liquor is sold? That's your problem, panel. Now, what do you got to say about it? Let's start off with Emmett O'Brien. What do you think about it, Emmett?
Well, I don't think they should go there because of the expense involved, and they should be with kids of their own age at this time. I know in our community, on Saturday night, we have an organization called Swing Club where the fellows may play basketball from 6 to 8, and fellows and girls can dance from 8 to 11. That keeps them off of the streets and out of these nightclubs where liquor is sold.
All right, and you have a lot of fun there.
Swell time.
All right, what do you think about it, Pat Utley?
Well, I went visiting down in Miami, and there's a place near there called Coral Gables, and they simply have no problem at all. I guess the mothers and fathers in the community got together, and they found a building that wasn't being used, so they set it up for the kids. They can go in there any time during the day and at night, and they have dancing and ping pong and all those things, and the kids really love it because it's a place for them.
I've
seen places where the kids themselves have gotten together and fixed up sort of a nightclub atmosphere with no liquor in their own Y team, and sometimes it's wonderful. They have the atmosphere, yet not the adult atmosphere.
Well, what do you think about it, though? Do you think teenagers, for the most part, for instance, teenage girls, would they rather go to a Y teen or a church group or a community center like this, or would they rather go to the more sophisticated nightclub where there is, say, more glamour or something like that? What about it, Judy? What do you think?
Well, I don't think it matters an awful lot, just so they're doing something, and I think the girls would rather go where the gang goes.
All right, do you think the teenagers, for the most part, like to go with the rest of the gang?
Yeah.
What do you think about it, Jim O'Neill?
Well, I think the point of it is that the liquor isn't the important part, because teenagers who don't drink can certainly go in there and not drink. Go into a nightclub, yeah, and not drink. But it's a place where they serve liquor, and there is dancing. There's liable to be a minimum or a cover charge. And I don't think the girls should expect the boys to take them to such an expensive place. If they must dance, they can always go to someone's house if there's nowhere else to go and play records. Personally, I like records better than orchestra, because every few minutes the orchestra always goes out for a breather, and you have to sit around and wait for them to come back before you can dance.
Those intermissions sometimes get in trouble. Now, David Benton, you've got something to say here. What are you going to say?
Mr. Ludden, if the parents don't get together and work out a plan for the kids, it's their own fault.
Oh, all right. Now, that's quite a positive statement, but this certainly is, then, a plug for the parents to get together and provide places for teenagers to go. Emmett, you look like you got something to say, but I'll tell you what we're going to do. As I said before, this is one of those problems that has many angles, and it's something that we certainly are not able to solve today, and we'll have to talk about it again. So if any of you in our audience today have an idea you would like to present as a possible solution, won't you drop us a note and let us know what you think? We like to feel that you're in on these meetings, and we're most anxious to convey your ideas to the other members all over the country. We'll be looking for your letters, and probably we'll be talking about this same subject again next week. And, of course, we do want you boys and girls to send us your problems, so here is Ed Anderson to tell you all about how to do it and about the prizes you may win.
Boys and girls, if you have a problem in manners or social behavior, either at home, at school, or at parties, write it out and send it in to Mind Your Manners. Each week, we select five questions for discussion and award the writer of each $5 in savings stamps. For the best stated and most interesting question, we award a $25 savings bond. All entries become the property of this program. In case of ties, duplicate prizes will be awarded. The decision of our judges is final. Contest closes at midnight on Wednesday of each week. Entries received after that date are considered for the following week's contest. So send your problems in to Mind Your Manners at this address. Mind Your Manners, Department 4, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York 20, New York. Send your entry today.
Now, panel, let's go to work on another prize-winning problem. Presenting our third one today, a boy who lives out in Logan, Kansas, wins $5 in savings stamps, and here is the problem that he presents to you.
I have to take physical education for the first time this year in the seventh grade, and I hate it. I'm no good in sports, I don't like them, and I'm awkward and clumsy when I try to play them. I live in the country, and I don't have time to practice basketball or football after school. Mother insists, though, that if I try to play, I'll learn to like it. I don't think I'll ever learn to like it, and I can't see how playing such games will help me in later life. What do you panel members think I should do?
What word of advice do you have for this boy, Emmett O'Brien?
I think he should take the physical education course by all means. It will give him coordination. He'll get rid of his awkwardness. And
how do you get coordination from physical education, Emmett?
Well, if you're playing the sport, you have to think clearly, and your body has to move together in making a shot in basketball or making a pass in football or catching or blocking or such as that. And if he wants to practice basketball, put up an old bushel basket on the wall of the house or something like the founder of the game did, and then get a ball and practice that way.
You think, in other words, they should take it. Well, now, what if, though, he doesn't have a chance to play these games because he's, say, not good enough to play them? Jim O'Neill, what word do you have for this boy?
Well, I think that the physical education teacher should take an interest in the boys who aren't good enough to make the first team and all that. They want to play just as much as the rest of the boys, probably, and he's probably being ridiculed by the coach, maybe, and by his playmates, undoubtedly, for his awkwardness, and that's probably what's turned him against physical education.
Do you think that happens sometimes, David Benton? Do you think some boys who might like to play just are ashamed to because their friends kid them about not being able to play so good?
Sure.
So well, shall we say.
Sure, the kids are always kidding the other fellow that can't do much. But what we do, and I think it's a very good idea, we start physical education around the fourth grade. Then you get used to such things as being kidded about what you can't do, and you probably learn to do it.
But do you think the teachers can help you out in a problem like this, David?
Definitely.
You think a teacher can sometimes discourage you if he doesn't really interest himself in you?
Sure.
Fine. Now, let's hear from the girls on this. What do you have to say about it, Pat Utley?
Well, if someone says that maybe he isn't taking physical education because someone is ridiculing him, well, these people that ridicule are oftentimes much worse than the person they're ridiculing.
I see, but what about this boy who just doesn't like it?
I didn't like it when girls take physical education, too.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't like it when I first started out, but the teacher was very nice. I think it's mainly the teacher's point of view in class, that in any class, that develops the person's attitude toward the class.
You do think it's important, Judy? Do you like physical education?
Not particularly.
Not particularly?
No.
Well, what are you going to do about it, though? Do you think it's important for boys and girls to take it?
Yes, I think they need the recreation when they've been working hard in school all day.
Eileen, what do you think?
I think they're learning to work with other people. That's the most important thing in life. And if he learns to take kidding, he'll be glad he has it in later life, too.
And you do all agree that the teachers can do a great deal for boys and girls who don't like it, can't
they? Yes, they
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
All right, fine. I hope all the teachers are listening and all the boys and girls who kid other boys during physical education. And now, it's time to hear from our studio audience. How about it, audience? Are you ready for your right-wrong quiz?
Yeah!
Fine. Now, Eddie Robbins is going to read five statements about manners in the home. And it's going to be up to you to tell us whether these statements are right or wrong. If Ed Anderson selects you to speak up for the audience, you'll get a prize. So on your toes now and tell us if these statements are right or wrong.
No matter what you were doing, you should always come to the table when Mother says, dinner is ready.
Is that right or wrong? Lots of hands. What about it, young lady?
Right.
Right. What about Dad? Do you think he should come to the table when Mother says dinner's ready?
Yes.
It applies to the whole family, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
When you're a mother, you're going to want him to do that?
Yes, I do.
What's your name?
Betsy Sisbauer.
Thank you, Betsy. And here's a little gift for you. And here's your second one, audience.
On busy school day mornings, there is no time for idle chatter. And such silly little things as good morning or pleasant expressions are a waste of time.
All right, is that right or wrong? Is that right or young lady?
Wrong.
Wrong. You, I think, good morning's important in the morning, isn't it?
Yes.
You're never too busy to be pleasant in the morning, are you, at home?
No.
Fine. What's your name?
Joe Nielsen.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Here's a gift for you.
Younger brothers and sisters are much too young for teenagers to bother introducing them to their friends when they come to the house.
All right, what about that? Is that right or wrong, young man?
Right.
Right? You're a younger brother. You got an older sister or brother?
No.
No. How old are you?
9 years old.
But do you think you're too young to be introduced to your teenage friends? Your brother, if you had a brother and sister and they brought some teenagers to the house, you're too young to be introduced to them?
Yes.
You are. Anybody else here tonight that thinks he's too young? You think you? What about this young lady right here? You too young?
I think that I'm too young to be introduced to all the other your brothers and sisters.
You do well.
And things, because then you're all, if you like them, you're always picking on them, and then your brothers and sisters get jealous.
I see. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do in a spot like this. We thought, though, that younger boys and girls should be introduced to older boys and girls, and then they go on and play by themselves. But they should always be introduced, we think. But we're going to give both of you a little gift and thank you a lot. Now, here's your fourth one, audience.
Boys are just as able to pick up their clothes as girls are.
All right, what about that, boys?
That's right.
That's right. Boys should pick up their clothes just as much as girls. What's your name?
Alonzo Coleman.
Okay, Alonzo, here's a gift for you and thank you a lot.
Boys of any age are expected to stand up when a lady enters the room.
Is that right or wrong? Here's a Girl Scout.
Right.
No, it's a boy. That's right. You think that the boy should stand up when a lady enters the room. That's so right. Even when somebody outside the family, when at home with your group, though, it's all right to sit down if it's just your brother or your sister coming in the room, or sister, rather. But by all means, little boys, no matter what age, should remember when a lady enters the room, he should stand up. All right, thank you a lot. What's your name?
Herbert Kaplan.
Thank you, Herbert. Here's a gift for you, and that does it for today, audience. We've got another right-wrong quiz all set for next week, though, and you're all invited to come back and join in the fun. Now it's the panel's turn. They're faced with a problem that was sent in by Wendy Winters, who lives out in Chicago, Illinois, and here it is.
I'm 13, and my hobby is reading. I just love stories and romance. I spend my entire allowance on books and magazines. My mother objects and is always lecturing me on the type of reading I choose. She calls it trash. She says that when she was a girl, she read such books as the Elsie Dinsmore books and Five Little Peppers and How They Grew and Little Women. I say those books were read back in the dark ages, not in this century. I think Mother is old-fashioned, and she just doesn't understand that a girl of 13 today is older by far in years and experience than a girl of 13 in the days of her youth. Do you think I'm impudent, as Mother says I am, or am I right?
Well, is she impudent or is she right, Eileen Barry?
I think she's impudent to say that. But I think Little Women is one of the best books that was ever written. Louisa May Alcott has written Joe's Boys, Under the Lilacs, Little Men, and several other books, and they're all wonderful in any century and any age.
Fine. Well, your English teacher ought to be happy to hear you talk like that, Eileen. What about it, Judy? Do you think that this girl is right in saying that her mother wasn't as experienced at age 13 as she is?
Well, I think that the mother probably was a little less mature, but I think that those books still hold up.
You think that the girls these days at 13 are a little more sophisticated than they used to be, right?
Yes.
All right, what do you think about those books, though, Pat Utley? What shall this girl do?
Well, she says she likes love stories and romance. Mm-hmm. Well, golly, Louisa May Alcott and her Little Women, that's a good romance. And the Elsie Dinsmore books are romantic. And gosh, she could find so many good books that are romantic if she likes that type of work. And she says she spends her entire allowance on love stories. And if there's so many good books that she could buy, honestly, I get so mad because I like good books.
All right, and you can go to the library. It doesn't cost you anything to get good books.
No.
If you're going to read as a habit, why not read good things and get a lot out of it, don't you think?
Sure.
I'd like to hear from boys and girls on this question. If you're going to be reading a lot of times, read good things and you'll get a lot more out of it. Now we go on to question number 5. which comes to us from a young man by the name of Jack Hennigan, who lives in Corpus Christi, Texas. And, of course, Jack will receive $5 in savings stamps for sending it to us, and here is his problem.
I'm 17, and I have a problem that confronts many boys my age. How old do you have to be before your father lets you have the car for dates and games?
All right, do you think this is a problem that confronts many boys at 17, Emmett O'Brien?
Yes, I do.
Has it ever confronted you?
Yes, it has, and it still is.
Well, maybe your dad's listening.
I hope so.
All right, what are you going to do? How old do you have to be to get your father's car?
Well, when you're old enough to assume the responsibility that goes along with it, and if you do get your license, you should be allowed to take the car because you must understand the responsibility in passing the test.
You think that as soon as the boy is able to drive sufficiently to pass the legal limits, he should have the car?
With some discretion, yes.
Whenever he wants it?
No, when his parents aren't using it, or if he tells his father in time enough in advance so he can make other plans.
What do you think about it, Jim O'Neill?
Well, I think that's a good plan. When a boy has his license, he must understand the rules of the road and the rules that govern the insurance on the car and so forth. So I think he should have the car when he has his license.
You think, though, that the family should stay home whenever he wants to use the car?
Oh, well, no. I mean, that's a little out of the question, but I don't think they should deny him the car just because he's too young. He has a license. After all, they let him have a license.
All right.
I think that teenagers should be taught to drive when they're in the early teens and be allowed to get their license as soon as possible as the law requires.
Well, look, this fellow's gotten his license, and he's driven once before the person that's given him his license. Now, the father has seen the fellow's fellow drive two or three times, and it's the way he handles the car, the idea of the car he has. Maybe he treats it as God's just another toy he has to play with.
Oh, that's a good idea, Pat. In other words, if he wants your dad to let you have the car, by all means, respect
it. Treat it right, and don't forget you pay for the gas.
All right, out of your allowance.
Out of your allowance.
All right, out of money you make. All right, that should begin to solve the problem for the boy in Corpus Christi, Texas. Maybe they're going to have some fathers and sons who are listening who might have some ideas for us. And now we come to the high point of our meeting. Here is the grand prize question of the week. It's the question that was judged the best stated and most interesting of all those submitted this week. And it was sent in to us by John Naum, who is 12 years old and who lives out in Akron, Ohio. And for it, of course, John will receive a $25 savings bond. So, panel, your very best attention now is invited to this grand prize question of the week.
I am 12 years old. My friends have get-togethers where they play cards and ping-pong and other games. Lately, they've started to play for pennies. I'm wondering if that is right, and I'd like to hear what the panel thinks.
Well, it's the first time we've ever had a question on gambling. Now, let's see what we're going to say about it. Let's talk to the... Judy, what are you going to say first?
Well, I don't think it's right to play for money, because even if you play for matches and bottle tops and stuff like that, when you get older, the bottle top can take the place of... a dollar can take the place of a bottle top.
And you think perhaps beginning to gamble so young is a bad habit to get into, right?
Definitely.
What do you think about it, Eileen?
It's good sportsmanship to just play for the fun of it, the fun of the game. Don't make it money.
What do you think about playing ping pong, for instance, David A. Benton, for a penny a game? Do you think that's any... Does that make the game any more fun to you?
No. No time is the time to start gambling.
Oh, you definitely are opposed to it. All right. That is the word from our expert, David Benton. What do you think about it, Emmett O'Brien?
Well, in high school sports, you play for the fun of it in the competition. You don't play for the money. And like Eileen said, it can build up later on in life. Like playing ping pong for pennies, you can play golf for $5 a hole.
All right, and that isn't a very good habit, particularly if you don't have a lot of $5.
That isn't fooling.
What do you think about it, Pat Utley?
Well, you know, I'm not going to say I condemn this fellow for playing for pennies, because everything... is all right until you misuse it. Well, not even, but I mean, things are all right until you misuse them. It's like smoking. It's not a bad thing in itself. It's the way people use it, the way kids use it. So I think this fellow, until he has gotten an idea of the right way of gambling, shouldn't even start, because, I don't know, you'll probably get into the wrong way of gambling, and as everybody else said, it can be costly.
And if you go in excess, it can be a very disastrous habit, can't it?
Yes.
All right, we certainly do recommend that they don't play games for gambling, but do you recommend that kids be at 13 play such games as card games? Do you think you can play cards at 13? How about playing... Can you play bridge, Jim O'Neill?
Yeah, I love to play bridge.
Okay, when did you start playing it?
Oh, about a year ago, a year and a half ago.
Oh, when you were very much older than this boy then, huh?
Well, yeah, not too much.
You were 16. Well, you do recommend, though, that card games can be fun, but they forget the pennies. Is that right? Eileen, what's your last word?
Oh, hearts, bridge. There are so many card games that are so much fun. Old Maid, they learn that pretty young. War, everything.
All right.
And he'll have fun doing it, but not money.
All right. Well, that's our answer to that question, and we certainly enjoyed it, and we hope the boy enjoys his $25 savings bond. And now we come to open up the answer box to find the answers to those questions that were sent in, but that were not selected for discussion. Today's first question to come from the answer box is...
The question was left to the audience at the last meeting before Christmas from a boy in Houston, Texas. Do girls object to going out on a weekend movie date with a boy who was wearing a sports shirt or jacket with no tie?
We asked the girls at that meeting to answer this question for the boy in Houston, Texas, and they certainly obliged with some fine letters. It may interest all of you boys to know that every single one of the girls said that they thought a boy looks more dressed up with a tie on than without one. There were some girls, however, who thought that ties were necessary only for more formal dates and that a tieless sports shirt was permissible for a movie date. If, however, we have to arrive at one answer, I think it's safe to say that girls consider it much more flattering if a boy dresses up with a tie for his date. The girls all indicated that they felt the boy was making a little more effort in their behalf, and they always liked that. So, the verdict is, boys, ties for dates.
From a girl in Kansas City, is it proper to eat pie with a spoon?
No, a dessert fork is preferred, and if that is not served, then a salad or dinner fork is much better than a spoon.
From a girl in Los Angeles, California, do boys prefer girls who wear hats on informal movie dates, or would the fellas rather take a girl out who is not quite so dressed up?
Uh-oh, that, boys, is your question. The girls came through with some finances about the tie problem, so here is your chance, boys, to speak up. We'll be looking for your letters, fellas, and then we'll pass the word on to the girls next week, and that puts the top back in the answer box this week, which means it's just about the time to adjourn today's meeting. But before we do, let's hear from our panel of typical teenagers one more time.
This is Oddenberry saying thanks to all of you who send us such wonderful holiday greetings.
This is Jim O'Neill speaking to the boys and urging them to let us hear from them. We'd really like to know what you think about that problem of girls in hats.
This is Judy Simons inviting the adults to send us their ideas for the adult discussion period.
This is David Benton putting in a plug for the boys and girls younger than teenage and inviting them to send us their problems.
This is Pat Utley reminding everybody that we need to know your full name and address, so don't forget to put them on your cards and letters.
And this is Emmett O'Brien with our address. Got a pencil handy? Okay, here it is. Mind Your Manners, Department 4, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York 20, New York.
Well, panel, you started this new year off with a very fine meeting, and I think we can count on about 50 more of such meetings in 1949. So let's all make a date, everybody, for this week at this time, each week at this time. I'll be looking for you next week. In the meantime, we are here all hope you have a wonderful time. Right now, this is Alan Ludden saying goodbye now.
Yes, boys and girls, this is your program. If you have a problem about social behavior, either at home, at school, or at parties, send it in to Mind Your Manners. You may win one of the six prizes. Remember, the best question wins a $25 savings bond. Mind Your Manners is produced by Robert DeFore. This is Ed Anderson reminding you that Alan Ludden will be calling another meeting to order next week at the same time. And you're invited. So we'll see you then. And in the meantime, remember...
It is smart to mind your manners.
Mind Your Manners has come to you from the studios of WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut. And here's a reminder for all of you. Your wonderful Sunday on NBC has everything, including Ozzie and Harriet. Yes, the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet provide plenty of warm human comedy. What happens to Ozzie and Harriet might happen to you. So be sure to hear the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, a great feature of your wonderful Sunday on most of these NBC stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.